vow renewal at 11 o'clock on the 22nd here at the church. So as we've seen, Amos, just like Joel, is a lot of warning from the Lord to his people Israel. And chapter 5, God is reminding them that they can still come back. And isn't it amazing? Our God is so merciful and long-suffering that we can always come back. We can always return unto him. So we'll start there in chapter 5, verse 1. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night. And calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Forasmuch therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good. Establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, for all of the things we can learn from these prophets of the Old Testament, Lord, as you spoke to your precious children, Lord, may we glean even tonight things that would help us. And Lord, may we be drawn closer to you, and may our desire to please you be strengthened. And so we commit the time to you, pray you'll be glorified through your word in this service now, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen. So as he says there in multiple times, verses 4 and 6, seek the Lord and ye shall live. He says there in verse 4, seek ye me and ye shall live. Of course, that's true for every person on the earth today, isn't it? If you want to live, if you want to have eternal life, you must seek the Lord. God says in Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. We must seek out the Lord. We must ask him to be our Savior. If you go to Isaiah 55, please, and verse 6, God says there could come a time when he can't be found. And I believe that we don't know when that time is, but it's always a possibility for the lost. He says, Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That implies that there may be a time when he can't be found and when he isn't near because of constantly rejecting him. And Israel was right at that breaking point because though they had these unconditional promises, God would never completely forsake them. But the lost will go to hell if they don't seek the Lord and find salvation. So then he says there in verse 5 of our passage, but seek not. So he says to Israel, I want you to seek me and live. Don't seek after these earthly solutions to your problems. Don't seek after Bethel. Don't seek after Gilgal. Don't seek after Beersheba. Seek after me, and ye shall live. Because Israel had been worshiping false gods and following the ways of the heathen around them. And God says, don't seek these things. And I believe he says to us as well, don't seek your help from man. Seek our help from the Lord. You know, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. And if you would look at Isaiah 31, 1, again, God rebukes Israel for seeking help in the wrong places. And the devil tempts us to do the same, doesn't he? To rely on our jobs, to rely on our pay stub every week, rather than to rely on him. To rely on our own wisdom, our own strength, rather than to rely on him. Isaiah 31, 1. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. That's a woe that God pronounced on Israel for seeking their help in anywhere but unto the Lord. You know, the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. So he says, I want you to seek me and you will live. Seek me and you will find life. Don't seek the things of the earth. Don't seek the things of man. And then he says it again in verse 6 of our passage. Seek the Lord and ye shall live. And when Jesus came to the earth, he said the same thing, didn't he? He said, you will not come to me that you might have life, in John 5:40. He said, come to me. We just looked at that in Sunday school, right? In Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. At the very end of the Bible, Revelation 22, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And him that heareth say, come. And he that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God is always calling out, saying, come to me, come to me. And so he says here, seek me, seek the Lord, seek Jehovah, and ye shall live, to Israel. So seek him and you shall live. Seek the Lord and you shall live. Seek not the things of the earth. Verse 8 of our passage. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. In other words, seek the Creator. Seek Jehovah. And this is God speaking himself to Israel. And he says, seek me, Jehovah. He says there, seek me in verse 4, verse 6, seek Jehovah. And then verse 8, seek him that made everything. So God is speaking of himself. Seek me personally, seek Jehovah, seek the Creator, because that's the only place that you're going to find life and the solutions to life, if you will, life's problems and so forth. And then over in chapter 4 of Amos, where we looked yesterday, verse 13, again, God talking of himself, he says, lo, he that formeth the mountains, created the wind, declared unto man what is his thoughts, that maketh the morning darkness, treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. That's our Lord. That's Jehovah, the God of hosts. He says, seek him. Seek Jehovah. God says, seek me. Seek me as your creator. Seek me, and you will find life. And he says there in verse 8 of our passage, the Lord is his name. We talked about this, I think, last Sunday night, how that the word Lord there is the Hebrew word for Jehovah. Revealing God's strength, God's self-existence, that he is everything, if you will. And we're told in Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The Lord Jehovah, that is our God. So this is God's desire for his people. It's God's desire for the world that people seek him out. And find him and find life. Now, once we find him and find life, you know what he wants next for you and me? Verse 14, seek good. Now, the world has it turned around, don't they? They want to seek the good. They want to try to do the good works. They want to try to get to heaven by trying to do things good, if you will, and saying, well, I'm basically a good person, and we're all sinners, and on our way to hell, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God says, first seek me and find life, and then seek the good. Because now we have the capacity to do good because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. So, again, the world turns it around. Seek the good first as a way of seeking God. And God says, no, you seek me. Find life and then seek good. And it's the same for you and I. First, we have to seek the Lord and find his salvation, find his life. Then he wants us to seek the good. The Pharisees, they had it backwards, didn't they? They had taught the people that if they would just follow all of these rules and regulations, that they would find heaven. And so the people struggled to follow all those things that the scribes and Pharisees had put upon them. They struggled to follow all every little jot and tittle to try to seek heaven through doing good. And they had it backwards. That's let's look at Romans 10:3 and we'll see that. I think I might have looked at that this morning, but that's okay. Romans 10:3, again, this is a good description of where the world is today. It's specifically referring to Israel, but it's everyone who is trying to earn God's favor, earn heaven. It says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. We must come to that point where we submit ourselves to the fact that God is righteous and we aren't. And rather than try to put forth our own righteousness, admit we don't have any, and that only God is righteous and that we need him. We have to submit ourselves to that truth. But once we're saved, what does Jesus say to us? Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek to do right, not to earn heaven, but because we have heaven, because we are the Lord's, because we have life. Then he does want us to seek righteousness. He does want us to serve him and please him and bring him glory. And that's also in James chapter 4. Let's turn over there if we could. So he says to Israel, seek me as your creator. Seek me as Jehovah. Seek me as your personal heavenly Father, your God. Seek me and find life. And once you find me, I want you then to seek the good, to do right, to please me. James 4:8, notice what it says. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Do you see there who has to make the first move? We do. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's speaking to the unsaved and the saved alike. We've got to come to him. We've got to seek him. And then he will draw nigh to us. So, he said, go back to our passage here in Amos 5. It's quite beautiful how simple he's laid this out for us. Seek the Lord, ye shall live. Then seek the good. And then look how he finishes there in verse 15. And hate the evil. It's okay to hate sin. Amen? It's not okay to hate sinners. They're different things. We're to love the lost. We're to reach out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They sin because they're sinners. Don't hold it against them. That's how they were born. That's in their nature to sin. But it's okay to hate the evil, because that stems from the god of this world, the devil. So that's a tough balance sometimes, but God wants us to hate the evil, it says there, and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. Go to Psalm 97:10 and we'll see where God wrote through David this same great truth that we as gods are to hate evil. You know, we're told in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And here in Psalm 97:10, David said, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. They are mutually exclusive, by the way. If you're loving evil, you're not loving God. And we talked about family camp about love, didn't we? But you can't love the world and love evil and love God simultaneously. It doesn't work that way. God even told us so, didn't he? No man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other. So yeah, we're to love God and hate evil. We're to love good, seek good, and hate the evil. And that's true every day of our lives, isn't it? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we need to hate not only sin because it's such a big part of this world and we need to avoid it, but we also need to hate sin when it's in our own hearts and in our own lives. We need to have a righteous hatred for the sin that's even in us, because we know that God is holy and wants us to be holy. And God hates sin too. And if you ever wonder how much God hates sin, you just look at Calvary. Amen? And see God being willing to give His only begotten Son. So God hates evil, we're to hate evil. Even in our own lives. You know, if you go to Romans 7, the Apostle Paul lamented about the sin in his own life. Romans chapter 7. And look down in... Where are we? I'll start in verse 15 of Romans 7. It says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." So Paul here is saying, the things that I hate, which is evil, to do evil, those are the things I end up doing because of my fallen nature. And he goes on to say then, verse 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." That should be our perspective too. In me dwelleth no good thing. My flesh is evil. He says, "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Paul's talking about himself. How we struggle to hate the evil even in our own lives. Because our fallen man loves the evil in our lives. The devil makes it attractive. So it's quite a simple but a very important and profound progression that God gives to His people here through Amos. God says, "I want you to seek me, nothing else, seek nothing of man, none of man's ways, none of man's ideas. I want you to seek me, seek Jehovah, seek me, seek the Creator and live. And once you seek me and live, then I want you to seek the good, to please me with your behavior, and simultaneously hate the evil." Hate the evil that's in the world. You know, in Romans 16, it says we're not even to speak of those things which are done in secret. We're not to dwell on them. We're to hate it. Again, don't hate the sinner, but hate the sin. And especially we're to hate the sin even in our own lives and consistently bring it to the Holy Spirit and ask for His help. Confess it. And the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us. Sadly, Israel did not listen, but seek the Lord, He said, and ye shall live. Aren't you thankful you did? That there was a time when you sought the Lord and He gave you eternal life. Hallelujah. Now He wants you to seek the good. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your beautiful